Hi, besties, and welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens,
a show where we talk about all things drag because we are semi-qualified to speak on it.
I'm Juicebox.
And I'm back, baby. It's me, Cynthia Kiss.
Cynthia Kiss is back from her long-awaited old lady vacation in Palm Springs.
Yes!
How was it?
Juice, have you been to Palm Springs before?
Where is it?
So it's just outside of like LA. It's in California.
Oh, no. I thought Palm Springs was in Florida. So
No. That's like Fort Lauderdale. I think maybe that's what you're thinking of.
Yeah, because I did St. Petersburg in Florida, which is basically just like Florida retirement for my honeymoon. And but I've never been to Palm Springs because when we went to LA, I think all I did was LA and then like Santa Monica, maybe? I'm not sure. But yeah, I don't think I've been to Palm Springs. Was it nice?
It was so cute. It's like, I think it's the gayest like place in America.
And gayer than San Francisco?
Like literally all five council members in Palm Springs are queer. Like every single one of them.
Wow.
A ton of queer people go to retire there. So you just see like, I don't know, it's not in your face. I think because overall, like, Palm Springs is just, like, sunny and, like, good vibes, like, poolside vibes. But, yeah, there's so many queer retirees. And then it brings some tourism, like, queer tourism. So I literally feel like half the people in Palm Springs are gay. And it was just so cute. And
so the bathhouse was busy, is what you're saying.
Yes, I didn't go to the bathhouse. But I did stay at a cute little LGBT spot for about half of our stay at Palm Springs where like clothing was optional. But I was in a cute little Speedo.
Oh, did you just see old balls everywhere?
Well, I was going to say, some of the clientele was a little older, but it made me feel really hot. I packed this swimsuit being like, oh, I don't know if I'll be confident enough to wear this. Because, you know, And then I got there and I saw all these old men tanning and I was like, you know what, babe? I'm gonna whip out the Speedo, and we did it.
Yeah. Oh, I only wear a Speedo, diva. I don't care if I hate my body at the most, I'm wearing that Speedo. I'm getting that tan line.
No, exactly. And it was so much sun. It was so fun. We did some hikes. I got recognized a couple times, so I still feel famous.
Well, especially in LA, babe.
I know, right? Yeah. You never know, though, in the States. I feel like we're nationally recognized and internationally, like, it's like, who dat?
Oh, I get recognized more in the US than I do in Canada.
Oh, cool. Is that your demo?
Yeah. I guess. Like, when I'm in the States, I get recognized on the street. I'll get recognized, like, if I'm going somewhere. But in Canada, they're like, who the fuck is that? Mm-hmm. They're like, I don't know, this bitch.
Yeah.
But in the States, I get it more. I think it's because, like, the people who watch the international franchises in the States are, like, big hardcore fans.
Yes.
And I think a lot of the Canadian fans are either shyer or maybe like quote unquote more respectful, because I remember even last night in my town I went to dinner and the girl at the end of our meal just went, I'm really really sorry, but can I ask, and then like did the whole thing, and she was very like meek and shy about it. And I find anytime I get recognized in Canada, that's kind of how it happens. You know,
yeah, maybe it's the Canadian politeness that.
Yeah, maybe that's it. And Americans are just like, are you that girl from the TV show?
Hey, you owe this to me. You were on TV.
You're on TV. Take a picture. Everybody in the States has a fucking Southern accent.
That's how it is. The trip was beautiful. So we also went to Ontario, where like hometown realness, to see some of my family. And we went to this exhibit in Toronto. Have you heard of Little Canada?
Oh, isn't it where they have like every, it's like a miniature version of like every city?
Yes.
Yeah. My friend really wanted to take me there, but I was just like, it's like really expensive. It's like $50, isn't it?
30.
That's but still like honestly, pricey to see miniatures.
But I was there for hours. I was taking it in. I was taking it in. I was taking like artistic videos. Like I felt I felt like
cinematic
a director.
Mode.
Cinematic, mama.
Yeah.
No, it was
you
so
were the drone.
Cute. It was so cute. All of the little areas. That. Like they have Ottawa. They have the Parliament buildings with the like Canada Day celebration with fireworks in the background.
Oh, cute.
Quebec's in winter, so it's like but
so it's always in
their,
winter. Isn't it?
What's their winter festival?
Bunnum.
They were kind of depicting that.
Oh no, Bunnum is the person. It's
mascot.
Their mascot. It's oh my god, my husband was just there.
Anthony, insert some sort of like auto
robotic voice. Yeah.
With the correct answer.
The Quebec Winter Carnival, or in French, Carnaval de Quebec, commonly known in both English and French as Carnaval, is a pre-Lenten festival held in Quebec City.
But no, so overall, it was so nice just to be traveling without drag and seeing family, friends, and just a little bit of sunshine and everything. I feel recharged and ready to rock.
I love that. That's so fun. I was not on vacation, but I have been growing a mustache, so we both did something fun.
Girl, your mustache.
Do you love?
I love.
Thank you.
I love.
I have to shave her off on Saturday because we will be at Comic-Con.
Comic-Con!
Yes. So okay. For those of you who are Toronto girlies or GTA girlies or even Ontario girlies, we are going to be at Toronto Comic-Con this year. We'll be doing a meet and greet and also a live recording of Semi-Qualified Queens. Spoilers, though, because we will be doing next episode of Drag Race because Comic-Con is landing on a Saturday. So we will be reviewing our episode of Drag Race just during our regular recording. And I'm also going to be there in the morning with my other podcast with Jackson. It's Dangerous to Go Alone, where we review video games.
Juice is a two-timing podcasting bitch. She's like cheating on slut. Me with another cute it's white guy.
I have a thing for just like tall blonde white men, I guess, because that's all based I have in Vancouver. Yeah, based in Vancouver. I have the straight and the gay version both on two, but one very butch podcast and one very fairy gay one. It's up to you to decide which one's which.
We should go for dinner,
all of us.
Yes.
So we can't, you and I can, but Jackson is in town actually with Disney on Ice, doing a 2-week stint with them. So he's actually leaving Disney on Ice, doing the meet and greet, and then going back to Hamilton to do shows in the afternoon. So if you want to come to Disney on Ice, we could go to Disney on Ice.
I'm not mad.
I'm going on Friday if you want to come.
Becomes a meeting.
If you want to, for those of you who are listening, I'm going to be at Disney on Ice on Friday in Hamilton at the 7 o'clock show, and Cynthia might be there too. So if you want an additional meet and greet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed. Yeah, honestly, I'd be down. I like Disney on Ice.
Do you? Really?
Anything on ice, honestly.
Oh,
Drinks. Okay.
I love a mocktail. Oh my God, before we get into the episode, my favorite mocktail right now is ginger beer and pineapple.
Work, bitch. I can see why that makes sense, because ginger beer has like a kind of an interesting taste to it that would almost remind me of like a libation, like an alcohol. And then your pineapple on top of that would be like your mixers if it was a cocktail. That's a fun one.
Mr. Box surprises me with them sometimes. He'll like make me want to be like, I made you a drink. And I'm like,
that's so cute.
He's the cutest. I know. He's a little bean. But speaking of cute little beans, let's dive right into this episode, because if me and Cynthia haven't seen each other in 2 weeks, so we're just going to catch up for 4 hours if we don't. So this is season 15, episode 11 of RuPaul's Drag Race, and Malaysia Baby Doll Fox is gone, and we are now at 90-minute episodes.
Yes, we're back on the full length.
We're back on full length.
There was one point in the episode today or last night when I was watching it, and I was just like, it's kind of dragging. And I was like, oh,
This is what I'm saying. I was watching and I was just like, woo, this is just a never ending episode. But it's because it was so long, you know?
But I know this is the season that we just, like, this is the only thing we've talked about this entire season on the podcast. So, SQ Cuties, you're probably like, don't turn us off. But my closing argument on this, I would rather the beginning part of a season be 90 minutes and they could actually cut from like top six or something down to 45, because there are less of them and less to know. Like,
yeah, I don't want to know that much.
Yeah,
it's so long, you know. But like, I don't want to see them getting ready. I don't want to see, oh my God, do you know what the worst part is? The judges talking. That's what I didn't miss. Oh my God, when that happened, I was like, oh my God, shut up.
And the only reason I say that is it's a numbers game. When there are less queens to critique, less queens to interview, less, that just means they share the airtime more. So it's like, it felt counterintuitive. It's like, why was it so short when poor Irene Dubois was there, you know? Woof, I'm sure she's listening. She loves RuCast.
She's a big fan. She's a big fan.
She loves
podcasts. Loves the Drag Race Recap. Loves us talking about outfits. Big fan.
But Malaysia's gone. I kind of can't believe it, because I didn't watch last week's episode.
Oh no, you didn't?
Baby, I took my break. I took my break.
No, that's good. If I didn't have to, I wouldn't have either. You're fucking right. But yeah, so Malaysia's gone, unfortunately. And it was last week her and Cynthia lip synced to the Beyonce runway where Selena Estes. What did I say?
You said Cynthia.
Did I say Cynthia?
You literally said Cynthia.
So Cynthia Kiss walked onto the stage. No, Selena Estes and Malaysia Baby Doll Fox lip synced to Single Ladies by Beyonce. And while a lot of people thought it was really good, I vehemently disagreed and thought it was rough boots of a lip sync. And Malaysia, unfortunately, just did not show up and show out. So she was sent packing. So Selena Estes. They kept the undercover body girl, Selena Cities. Selena has now deemed herself the bottom bitch diva.
I love it.
Yeah. I mean,
we need our
bottoms. She slays a lip sync. The pillars of the gay community, truly.
Truly. The unsung heroes.
Unsung heroes, truly. But yeah, so Malaysia's gone, which I'm really bummed about because I really liked Malaysia. I thought she was so cute. And Selena is back to fight another day.
She is. And then again, Lucy is continued to be plucked.
I love it. I never want her to be happy with her placement, ever. I am obsessed. Like, I want next week, because we obviously got the double win this week. I want next week for her to be mad that she had to share the win. That's 100%. What I want. I want her to be furious all the time with her placement until she eventually wins. Like, that's just what I want. She won't win.
It's so funny because production must be able to tell, even from, like, interviewing casting level, the queens who are just so eye on the prize want it so badly, and you can kind of just tell, like, have been doing it for X amount of years, they're so polished, like, you know, it kind of like leans itself into someone who's kind of intensely competitive, and to dangle that carrot along to the point of insanity
she's gonna fucking crack. Although she did have a face crack moment last week, I think. Either last week or the week before that they acquitted to Jan. Oh, no, it was last week. Mm. Where they superimposed Jan's face crack with her face crack.
Wait, that wasn't a fan edit?
No, that was a real fan edit. That was a fan edit.
Okay, so that didn't happen on the show. Because I was watching TikTok. That was a fan edit. I thought that was brilliant. I was like, oh my god, they literally production, like, telling the audience they're Janning her? Okay.
No, it was a fan edit.
Let it loose.
we're gonna have a let loose break today and not a shine break.
I support that. I actually like that song.
Let it loose. But Lucy's still plucked. But what my favorite part is Kelly Rowland or Lucy LaDuca, or not Lucy LaDuca, Luxor London, is calling out Lucy for not being pregnant last week. And it was just pure camp because she is just in this wig, this like this chopped up chunky wig, being like, but why weren't you pregnant?
Yeah.
But why? And it's just them arguing. And it's just like, show this scene to a straight person and just watch them deteriorate, you know?
I felt like it was layered because on some level, I feel like neither of them care. But then on another level, it's a competition, so you want to, like, poke at someone's mistakes. So that's what Lux was doing. And then Lucy's trying to save her ass, because she's like, you're probably right. I probably should have had a little
bit of time. She was right.
She was right. But then she's going, don't shade Queen Bee like that. Like, I think that's being a little shady. Like, I don't think she actually looked that pregnant at the performance. But it was an iconic moment. She literally opens her tuxedo jacket to be like, hey, I have a baby bump.
She literally looked pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, but we talked about that last week too. But yeah, I just love that part.
No, it was so funny. She just, I felt like she was trying to cover her tracks because Lucy's just like, "Don't find a flaw. I am flawless. Let loose,
let loose."
But yeah, it was pure camp, pure camp. That fight that only gay people would understand, queer people would understand. So your team Lux, you wanted to see a baby bump.
Yes, I'm team Lux. I wanted to see a baby bump. She was Lux. Lux is very smart, and I feel like we really see how intelligent Lux is every single episode. Like every single episode, we start to see more and more how her brain works, and she is a very smart girl. So she's very quick. She's very cognizant of camera. She's very cognizant of the show she's on, and she's very cognizant of what makes a moment. So she's a smart girl, and you could tell that she has been studying the show, especially because she's a walking reference every five seconds. So she's a smart girl. I'm starting to like Lux more and more every episode. She's a fun one. So we go right into the mini challenge, which is a Harlem Vogue ball, which was super fun. I could see every single person in the Vogue community's face just like melt off as she was like death drop, and saying all of these like Drag Race terms about the Harlem Vogue balls. I was like, ugh. But I loved this as a mini challenge. I thought it was just so fun and cute and goofy. I thought it was great.
I think with Sasha there, they've got this like responsibility to like, I don't know, hark back to certain drag culture that she brings to the table. And like, you could just see the minute she actually walked and did her thing, I was like, that is how you do it. Like, even Anitra was great too, but there was something about Sasha, just the way she knew, just this catalog of moves where she's picking up the hair, she's showing the like the unit, like the hair, there's certain tricks that felt nuanced that was outside of Drag Race. Like, she has lived a drag career outside of Drag Race, you know, countering to the kids who've grown up watching it. I like seeing someone who comes from the world kind of pre-Drag Race. And so that's what I love when they're paying homage to that. And I think a huge part of it is because Sasha's there. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. I don't know if Sasha's a part of any kind of Vogue.
But doesn't she like...
But I'm sure she is. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm sure she is. I'm sure she's walked in a ball or like a dozen in her day, because she's been at this so long and she is such an icon. So I wouldn't be surprised. I just don't personally know if she has, because I don't know the front and backs of her career. But
lucky, she did such a good job.
She did such a good job.
I was like, this is part of the million things you're great at.
I know. But I thought everybody was so great and fun at it. It was just like a cute challenge, you know, and it's nice to see them having fun with things and like laughing and cheering each other on. That's always nice to see. But Anitra obviously wins because she's so fucking good at moving her body around. And we find out that the maxi challenge is stand up, where we will be in partners, except one of the girls is going to be performing alone.
Yes.
My nightmare.
Please, these gays, they're trying to murder me.
Capiche? That's a scary maxi.
I would hate that maxi. Especially, oh my god.
Especially one girl having to go by themselves.
Yes, I would. It's everything about it. And it wasn't even a roast. It was just stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what it was. It was just a straight-up stand-up comedy thing. And they could kind of do anything with it, which I find even scarier. Because with a roast, at least you can rely on reading people. But with stand-up comedy, you just have to build something from the ground up. So it's like, ooh, okay.
Yeah. Way too broad.
Way too broad.
There's so many ways to go wrong. And, like, we did see examples where people would be like, here's my take. Like, I'm going to talk about weed. And it's like, ugh.
I'm going to talk about a migraine. Like, huh? Like... Yeah. It's really hard to do comedy, especially like if you're not a comedian. Like, it's so hard to be able to just like take a joke and make it funny to everybody. You know?
The thing about comedy, and why am I talking about it like I'm a stand-up? I love listening to like comedians' podcasts, and like I hear a lot of times their experience of how many times they workshop the same material. So it could be the exact same jokes, but you structure your sentences differently. Like, you build up, you say it the right way. Like, it's honestly like slam poetry. There's such an art to it. So for someone to have zero experience, you either get super lucky or you fall flat on your face.
Well, you could even see it with like Ali Wong, where she like literally would say like, hey, that joke's bad, but say this and that joke's good. Like, it was so easy for you to just, like, add one tiny thing, and it was just like, oh, that'll make people laugh. That'll bring it in, you know? So I thought she was, like, perfect to have for a challenge like this, because she was the first time you really saw, like, a comedian come in and really kind of give, I thought, really solid advice. You know, like, really, really, really. Yeah, and I thought she was just so fun. But we get our groups, which are, first, we get Marsha and... Mistress, we get Sasha and Anitra, we get Lux and Lucy, who were fighting that morning. And then Selena is alone, right?
Yes. Yep, that's how it started.
But then Selena, it was because she won. How did Selena get the ability to steal? I forget.
Well, honey, it was sponsored by Bubbly, and each girl to go into the cooler and pick out a can, and each can had a matching can color, and so that's how they grouped together. It was just probability.
No, but Selena was able to steal, and she ended up stealing Mistress from Marsha.
Because she was last. No one matched with her can color, and so she then, by being last, was given the choice, stay solo,
or steal. Well, smart of her to steal. I would have sold Mistress in a second.
Yeah, I think, like, unless you're brilliant at stand-up, or you feel really great on your material, your point of view, doing it with a partner is a little bit of like a security blanket. And yeah, Mistress is hilarious. So I kind of get the swap. And then it was really a nail in the coffin for Marsha.
I felt bad. But you know what I actually would have done? Like, if it was me, I would have taken Lucy.
Okay.
I would have taken Lucy. That girl, you could tell that girl's a host and she's hungry for a win. I would have went all over Lucy and I would have just let her take control of the whole situation.
Yeah.
I would have been like, here you go, Diva. Yeah, have fun.
It's so hard, though. Those decisions get made in, like, milliseconds. Like, that is the real side of reality TV. Like, they let the contestants have zero time to think. It's like, okay, go. Like, you really get, like, 1 second as if it's...
You're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I ended up in a girl group with very interesting people.
That's how I got sent home.
Exactly.
But yeah, so those are our groups, and then they just go right into working. And we find out that Marsha's going to open the show. Lux and Lucy are second. Sasa and Anitra are third, and then Mistress and Selena are going to close it. Whoa.
Closing's hard.
Closing's hard, but at least they gave Marsha the open and not the close. I think that was not as shady. If they would have gave Marsha the clothes, that would have been the shadiest shade boots that you could do.
I know. It's just so hard to get. But at the same time, I disagree. I feel like she going after just anyone would have been like seeing how one person talks and moves on stage. She had no one to compare herself to and she was by herself. So I actually feel like first in some ways, if you don't know what you're doing, it's like you have nothing to base it off of.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like she was going up there like a scared little lamb. She didn't know how to work.
I didn't think she was as bad as everybody said. But also, this is going to sound a bit rough. I thought they were all bad. I didn't laugh once.
Lux and Lucy were good.
Lux and Lucy were witty.
I thought they were okay.
I didn't laugh. But, where are the jokes?
But
I don't know.
Marsha was like, she gave a strong presentation of sorts. Like, she was clear, you could hear what she was saying, but she was nervous. She seemed like apologetic up there. Every time she would say something, and she just couldn't live in the dead air, which is terrifying. It doesn't feel great to set up a joke and get
silence.
Literal. Crickets, like it's not a good feeling.
But it's like, I feel like, wouldn't you make fun of yourself in that moment with the silence?
This is where Jada Essence Hall would say, like, fuck, this just isn't working. She kind of reads the room and says,
read the room and say, this isn't working out. You guys didn't like that. Yeah, you didn't like that one, did you? Yeah. You know, and then you can kind of bring it back. Yeah, that's why I kind of felt bad. You know, she did seem really nervous. She just got to kind of laugh at herself a little bit more in that moment. But what did you think of the challenge? Are we there?
So essentially, we're there. I mean, we're there, right?
We're there. Should we take a break?
Oh, Juice, I love you. You remember.
Yay.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be back on the main stage.
Call me queen of the thunder. I'm taking over first. It's time to turn up the music. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Feeling down in the dumps? Feel like you need someone who isn't a friend or family member to talk about it? BetterHelp is the perfect neutral party.
BetterHelp offers licensed therapists who are trained to listen and help you.
Talk to your therapist in a private online environment at your convenience.
There's a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's 20,000 plus therapist network that gives you access to help that may not be available in your area.
You just fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and then you get matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Boom.
Then you schedule secure video and phone sessions. Plus, you can exchange unlimited messages, and everything you share is completely confidential.
You can request a new therapist at no additional charge anytime.
Join the 2 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with an experienced BetterHelp therapist.
We have a special offer to the semi-qualified Queens listeners. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/SQQ.
That's betterhelp.com/SQQ. The special URL will be in the show notes. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode.
There you go.
That'll do it. Let it loose. The girls are letting loose on the main stage. We've got RuPaul walking out in quite a cool short little dress with pop can tabs. She's going eco chic.
Ooh, that must have hurt.
No, it would probably be lined with something. Like, I don't think it's like direct to skin.
Oh, yeah, that would.
It's like, it's not like actual shards of like pop can.
Here you go.
But I thought
she
looked
aluminium on your skin.
Aluminium.
Aluminium.
Stop doing the aluminium. Minimum.
Aluminium.
And then we've got Michelle. Michelle's yes, there.
Looking gorge.
T.S. Madison in a very, very colorful braided ponytail.
Stunned. She looks great. And I'm happy T.S. is on the panel more because they said she was a regular judge. And I was like, where the fuck has she been? So I'm happy that two episodes in a row we get T.S. Madison because she's a really good judge.
Hell
I like
yes.
her a lot.
Me mm-hmm. too. And Ali Wong.
So good.
I love her. Have you watched her specials?
Both. I watched both of them. She's really funny.
So funny. So
yeah,
funny.
Yeah, she makes me laugh. Yeah, I like her a lot. So then we get right into this. Sorry, I got an email from Coles. What the fuck? So we just get right into the comedy challenge. And I know earlier I said I didn't think any of them were funny. So Marsha was rough. Marsha was really nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get to Lux and Lucy. What did you think?
I thought they looked great. Yeah. I thought they were like, I think they did a good job, to be honest, for the yeah. assignment and the banter. They were able to kind of figure out a way of like putting themselves down first. They did it more roast style. Wouldn't you agree?
That's how I would have done it though.
Yes.
That's like, exactly. I find a smart way of doing it. I don't want to say easy because nothing about this challenge is easy. This is, I think, like one of the hardest challenges you can get on the show. But I was smart because because roasting is something that comes more naturally to queens.
Yeah, observational comedy, like you getting up there like you're Ellen DeGeneres, like finding the funny. You can find the funny in any situation, but it has to be workshopped. You have to find the right choice of words, examples. To pick any, like, kind of like these broad strokes, it doesn't work. If I would have done the same thing, a little roasty to get a little
and
shade
they were really
there.
Yeah, and they were quick with each other, and they I like that they made white people jokes.
Yes.
Yeah, although I'm sad they didn't make a ketchup is spicy joke.
Or like toothpaste is spicy.
Yeah, toothpaste is. I love a something is spicy white person joke. I always think those are, I always laugh at those ones no matter what. So I will say, you know what? I know I said earlier that I didn't think any of them were funny, but you're right. They were witty. They were funny. They had good jokes. I think I was just tired and cranky.
The thing was, I wasn't worried about them up there. The thing with comedy, you cannot enjoy it if the person up on stage seems nervous and like they're walking on a tightrope. When Marsha got up there, I was the whole time I was kind of clenching. Because I was just worried she was, like, how much she was going to embarrass herself.
Yeah, it's almost like you want to cover your eyes. You know, you don't want that. That doesn't make you feel comfortable. And Lux and Lucy made you feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm. And they had great looks. They were fun. Mm-hmm. They were flirty. Big, stupid hair. Like, you got their energy. What did we think of Sasha and Anitra?
Not good. Like, Sasha fell into some fun, roasty Michelle jokes. At the end.
Yeah.
But they almost felt like a last ditch attempt at just making people laugh. They were just like, okay, we've got to get something. That's what it kind of felt like.
I will say, I applaud Sasha Colby's commitment to cool, calm girl energy, like, the whole
cool
time.
Cool vibe.
Yeah. Like, even though it wasn't working, she committed to being kind of laid back and not shifting gears. And in some ways, I'm like, commitment to character. Had I been up on that stage, I would have had a lobotomy and been like, just kidding. I'm going to completely change what I'm doing. So, but in some ways, it's more impressive just to see someone... Like, you know what I mean? If it's not working, I'd be like, I'm now this. But I did find it strange. I love me some cannabis. You know that about me.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, I don't find it, like, knee slapping hilarious. Like, I don't find it as a subject matter so funny. Like, I don't know. Well, I think
weed is so, like, normal now. That like Cheech and Chong, like, stoner thing isn't really, I think we've all gone past that. Like, it's not like, because everybody, you know, so many people that smoke weed to the point where it just, like, makes them normal throughout the day, that, like, this whole idea of just like, yo, man, what's up, bro? I find it's just like a hard comedy thing, because we're all just like, is that funny anymore? Like, because it's just like, I'm stoned right now and that's not how I'm acting kind of thing. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought it was a weird choice.
Very strange, because Anitra had a headache. She was suffering with a headache earlier that day, which I get it. Long hours, sleep deprivation, and then you have
to write. Well, I think it was an ocular migraine. So hers was just like, not just a headache, but like a headache on, like, you know, steroids, like bad, bad, bad.
Super bad, 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 but probably caused by the conditions of the show, if you wouldn't, like.
Wouldn't be surprised, yeah.
You know, like, she's being put in this intense once in a lifetime opportunity. You're going to get a headache. And that's not me dismissing Anitra. That's me totally empathizing. Because then you having to rack your brain in this new way to do creative writing all of a sudden, it's exhausting. This being said, I don't know if I would still integrate that into my performance. Like, the migraine.
No.
But did she? I'm having a senior moment. Like, did she actually
This is going to sound bad, but I don't remember anything Anitra said.
I think all she did was the weed jokes.
I just don't remember remember anything from her set, because I was probably cringing, because comedy challenges make me uncomfortable. So I think it was probably like, oh, you know, I don't remember a thing. So I just remember being
bad
uncomfortable
sign.
And it wasn't good. Yeah. Bad sign.
Bad sign.
But speaking of uncomfortable,
nor,
I'm chewing on those vowels. Nor. Speaking of uncomfortable, Mistress and Selena. Hey, whoa.
Mistress and Cynthia,
like, woof. I just didn't get what their direction was. Like, long-winded hookup stories to close the show.
Sexcapades, yeah.
I would have almost preferred to close the show roasting.
Yep.
I feel like a roast 100%. Is a nice, like, nail in the coffin. You're all fucking garbage. See you later, you know? This was very, like... And then he topped me, and then I gave him this, and then...
Do you know where these stories would have been brilliant? Midnight to 2 a.m., you're with your girlies, you're, like, a drink or
really?
Two down, and, like, you're just gabbing about, like, each one of you goes around the table and shares your fun little story.
Not on the mic.
Those are one of those things when people say, like, girl, you're so funny, you should do comedy. And it's getting lost. It's getting lost in the sense that it's an entertaining story of sorts, but I don't know if it actually has the meat and potatoes or the structure of a strong joke. Like, Selena did a better job from rehearsal to final performance. She beefed it up a little bit. It's called, like, punching it up when you insert a bit more comedy into her jokes. Like, she was that whole you can't get pregnant twice thing. That was her punching up her bit, but I just think it needed a little bit more, because it wasn't didn't grab me.
No, it didn't grab me. I didn't feel captivated.
No,
I kind of just felt like they were both long-winded stories,
and they didn't have chemistry.
No, and Mistress Mistress wasn't as effervescent and kind of like funny as she normally is. That's where I think they should have roasted. Because imagine Mistress roasting.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, Mm-hmm. She would scalp everybody. So 100%. I wish that they fell more into that, or I wish it was almost just Mistress roasting Selena mm-hmm. and Selena kind of like reacting, you know, or something mm-hmm. where there was a little bit more chemistry between the two, because it felt like, this is my story, this is my story, funny joke together, bye. And I was like, ugh.
It would have been funny had they started with the sexcapades and then said, like, could you imagine me topping, that's like me topping RuPaul, because they were trying to talk about like the size discrepancy, and then you could go down the panel and be like, I don't know, like try to translate something. Bridge their sex story with a roast. I think that would have been more impactful.
Yeah, I don't know, but that was the comedy challenge and as rough as it was, but that's a hard challenge, like snaps to the girls, that is a really 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 yes. difficult challenge, and they all, it wasn't as bad as my earlier statement.
No, honestly, presentable, and it's just, it's super challenging.
It's super, super challenging. But our runway this week is Rip Her to Shreds. I actually didn't hear the prompt at first because I just didn't pay attention for a minute. And yeah. I was looking at these runways and I was like, what the fuck is the prompt? Like, what is going on?
They're all ripped.
Why is everything ripped? And then I was like, oh, it's probably a ripped runway.
Yes. Up first, we've got Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. And oh, I felt bad. I feel like production did her dirty and knew she had this concept and was gonna do it after Lucy did hers, because it's the same thing, the crying pageant queen.
Didn't Lucy switch hers up and do crying pageant queen or something? I don't forget. But
what do you mean by switch it up?
I think I'm daydreaming and spreading misinformation, so I'm just gonna stop myself. But
you're pulling a Cynthia Kiss.
I think I pulled a Cynthia kiss there, yeah. But I don't think it was production. I think they both just had a similar look, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Because that happens every season, is two girls have something close, you know? Mm-hmm. But I do agree with
And I guess
Michelle.
There's no way they know what they're bringing beforehand and choose the order yeah. of runways so that it
See,
gets
I wish she got rid of the Miss NYC and just did the tattered dress.
Yeah, it could have been like, yeah, just like fucked up girl at prom.
Yeah, and then she's done. It doesn't have to be the Miss NYC. But I will say, do you know what's funny? Mm. Remember how I've been talking all season long? If she just added a little bit of black under her eyes, it would make her look like she has more makeup. Mm-hmm. Now that she has the black tears on, she looks like she has more makeup.
I've been seeing her on TikTok. She does like a cool angled liner wing out underline thing now that I actually think mm-hmm. is a beautiful spot to sit.
She's been looking gorgeous. Yeah. She's been looking very, very, very good.
Stunning. What do we think of this look?
I think it's just a bit boring. I also don't love the hair. I get it. It's supposed to look tattered, but like,
yep.
It just kind of feels, it's like tattered, but it's like not enough. Like, it's not that it's not enough tattered, but it feels like the dress prior wasn't enough and the tattering just made it kind of flat.
Yeah.
You know?
I think something got washed out. That light blue got a little washed out on stage and you didn't see as much of the tattering. But
yeah.
Overall, cool concept. Unfortunately, we saw it just a couple episodes ago.
Yeah, me too. What did you think of this Lucy outfit?
Let loose. I thought it was different for her and honestly, kind of scary. It was giving like Insidious. Like the scary face in that movie.
It's like, I hate it so much, I like it.
Yeah.
You know, like I think the makeup is rough, 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 rough. And I also don't love the wig choice. The actual outfit itself is quite fun and pretty, but the makeup choices and the hair choice, I think, are hard. She did say she only had an hour to do this makeup change. So she did post one where she had more time to do the makeup. I didn't say that. She had more time to do it. I just think that the actual choice, I just think it's hard to do a look like this and make it not look campy.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, I think doing a white-faced vampire is a little hard. I think she could have done this smarter.
Here's my thing. Color theory. The rest of her is quite, like, sepia, warm toned, and then the face went like cool gray.
Yeah, that's almost the problem.
I wish she just did a little bit of beige foundation in her clown white, because then she would have all been one like monotone, and I think it would have lended itself. Like, her face practically looks purple and then the rest of her looks yellow. But overall, she should have
done. She should have done her normal face foundation with a whiter kind of almost yellowy highlight, and then bruised tone for the rest of the. Yes. She should have done a bruised tone blush, bruised tone contouring, more of a bruised tone purpley lip, and then more bruised tones in the eye with maybe like blood. And maybe some, like, veining happening, probably, throughout the face. And I think it would have read better with the kind of sepia tone in the thing. Yeah, I think that's where my big problem is the color of the white. Oh, Cynthia, your mind.
But also, shout out to Lucy's body at all times. Like, even in this, she still looks snatched. And in the stand-up challenge before, we didn't talk about it. I love the fact that she has, like, a giant rack of tits and then this, like, super nipped. I love her measurements. I think she's so... The way she pads is, like, Barbie bimbo, and I love it. I don't think we see it as often anymore.
Well, she just never pads, and she's never going to. So, very good for her. Remember that episode one?
Yes.
Don't you remember? She was like, and I've never padded, and I'm never going to start.
I love it. I think there's something about the way how she does her bust, it like it looks over the top but like almost natural. I don't know, it's like Dolly.
But then we get into Lux Noir London, and this is what I wanted to say. This is how fucking smart she is.
Yes,
like she researched this, like RuPaul, and decided to do an homage to her for a full runway and make it something that's so niche, you know? And it's I just think it's so intelligent. And I know a lot of people are saying it's like a sucking up thing, but it's just like, I don't really think it is. I think it's her just being an intelligent player.
Oh, no. It is. But it's great that she's doing it. I think sometimes in life, you need to respect your predecessors. You need to respect your boss. Like, you kind of want to, like, cater the assignment to them because you know they're going to enjoy it, but also execute it on a level that it's still entertaining for the masses. I think she's just really well researched in the, like, catalog of Drag Race and RuPaul as just like an icon. So I thought it was really intelligent. It took me a second, I wouldn't have understood unless they did the photo by photo, but the minute I saw it on stage, I was like, oh, that's so cool. Like, that is really cool for them to do that.
And I will say the original, I like Rue's better.
Could you imagine if a white girl did that? Like, if Lucy came
Woof. Woof, woof, woof. Woof, woof, woof. Rue's for some reason I like a little bit better. It's a little bit bigger. There's a little bit more movement to it. But with that being said, Lux's fit her proportions better. And I feel like the other one would have swallowed her right up. So I think she made some good decisions on cutting it down so it fit her to make it look more complimentary for her body. So she looked great.
And then that hair was the piece de resistance, mama, because the rest of it was fairly simple. I love how she said
it was the biggest hair she's ever worn. That was
probably
cute. I know, it was cute.
It's like bouffant, mohawk, and then some. I loved, absolutely loved.
I know.
Next we speaking have of Sasha love, Colby. Oh my god, I like this. I really like this. I love denim and I love crystals, and when you put them together, oh my god. She just looks like a sea, like, she looks like a mermaid. She looks like a pile of garbage glamorized and turned into something incredible.
She done crystallized.
I'm obsessed.
Yeah, no complaints. Nothing I can say about this that isn't already said. It's incredible.
Also, I missed it last week. Her Beyonce look was incredible.
Oh, yeah. Hers was cute. Yeah, I liked it.
So this is giving. I have no notes. Next, we have Anitra on the runway.
Anitra in another outfit that she is ready to lip sync in. She loves a show outfit, you know?
Yeah.
She looks good.
These are show pieces. Do you think she's making a lot of her stuff? Because I'm seeing some of her content online of, like, actual footage of her, like, behind the sewing machine.
I would be surprised if she made this.
Yeah, I think she did.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun. It's not my favorite look, but it looks good, and it moves well.
Yeah. I couldn't tell if that was black or green or deep green velvet.
It's black.
It is.
Yeah.
And why was the shoe green?
Oh, now I'm doubting myself.
Like, I thought they
were
weird.
Is the shoe green?
The shoe is like pea green, but then I thought the velvet was like deep evergreen.
Oh, now I feel like it's the blue and black and the gold and white dress. That's what I feel like. Now I'm seeing green. God damn it.
God damn it, Cynthia.
God damn it, Cynthia. Either way, it looks good. The green is a bit of a choice on the shoe if it is black, but meh.
I will say, silhouette, I was with T.S. Madison. I loved. I just think it could have you could have cleaned it up just a tiny little bit.
I wish there was a bit more to it. It did just feel like a catsuit with a shawl. I do wish there was a little bit more. I want to see from Anitra's more fashion, less stage, you know? Because I think she could really give fashion with that body and that face, you know, and especially in her movement. I think there could be definitely like a Brooklyn Heights aspect to it. But everything she wears feels like a show costume. You know, it feels like she's ready to get on the runway and on the stage and perform, which is great, which I love. But I do want to see something a bit more fashion-y, you know?
Give me more.
Give me more. Speaking of more, we have Selena S. Titties. And this actually is not bad.
Beautiful story. The silhouette's probably the strongest I've seen of the season. I just was getting, there was a bit of a disconnect for me in palette, like color palette. It just washed out a little bit on stage. I think she could have done some richer colors, but then this is, again, I don't want to like overstep if it was more like culturally accurate to do something so light and pastel. I found it hard to read some of the lacing and the detail work.
I just like that it wasn't
the lacy Ladiga. Like,
Lacey Liduca. I'm just happy it wasn't that, and then she put something on top of it, because her first few runways, it was like something beautiful and then a giant thing thrown on it. Yes. Where this just felt like it was just a beautiful runway, and I was like, great.
The necklace is borderline, babe. Like, it's a pretty
thing. The necklace was, It was not the greatest, but it was small enough where I could kind of ignore it if I didn't like it. Imagine she just had a gigantic necklace covering the garment. I would have been like, rip it off.
Seriously.
I know. But speaking
like
of rip.
I like how she gave it a story. Like, she definitely was, like, acting on the runway.
I will say, she loves a run to the corner, look confused. Run to the other corner, look confused.
Like a perfume commercial.
Yeah, she very much gives perfume commercial on the runway sometimes, which is a fantasy.
It is.
But yeah, and then we go to Mistress Isabel Brooks. Who is giving us Madonna, ripped up and tattered, Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend, in a fire. She looks incredible.
This is giving, I'm pretty sure I know the Pinterest. It's like a Moschino fashion show a couple years ago where Jeremy Scott did a bunch of gowns that looked like they'd all been distressed like this, like patches, and like they were caught in a fire. So I love the reference. I thought she executed it beautifully. If I want to get nitty picky, I would have done just a little more of those stones around the burnt parts, because they were pretty sparse. I would have loved to just fill those in a bit more. But like overall, this was my favorite of the week. So.
Oh yeah, they are a bit sparse. I wish there was a little bit more concentration of stone.
I think
that was a
last minute thing. She probably looked at it and was like, how can I give it more? Or what I would have done is not all the stones been black, but some of them be that deep magenta. So it looks a little multi-colored, a little transitional. But overall, such a great look.
Yeah, she looks incredible. And her runway presentation is always gorgeous, too. Like, she really knows how to walk the runway and really create a show. I love her so much. She's great.
Yeah, it's amazing. The silhouette is so fucking fun.
Mm-hmm. So we get our tops and bottoms for the week. And
we do.
Our winners are Luxnoir London and Lucy DeLuca. Lucy LaDuca and Luxnoir London are our tops, our winners for the week, which I thought was really well deserved. I think out of 100%. The pack, they did the best.
Yeah.
And then our bottom three was Sasha, Anitra, and
Marsha.
Was Sasha in the bottom three? Yeah. And then we find out that Marsha and Anitra are going to be lip syncing. I almost wish we got a Sasha Anitra lip sync again. But that would mean that Anitra would probably get sent home.
No.
Because I can't see them not keeping Sasha. But apparently this, everyone is saying this is like the one of the best lip syncs in the franchise. What did you think?
That it was one of the best lip syncs in the franchise.
It was good.
It was so good. I stopped taking notes. I looked up at my screen and my jaw dropped and I was like, it is so fun to watch both performers be such dancers and like movers. Like the way, you know, you're looking at a dancer when you watch them walk. The way Marsha strut, it reminds me of the way Brooklyn Heights struts. It's a swivel of your hips and the way you have a flexibility. You're so flexible that even when you're just walking, you do it as if you're on water, you're floating. Mm-hmm. And she was giving it a powerful stomp. And I thought this could have been a double save for me.
I don't agree with the double save. I know a lot of people are saying it was a double save, but I felt like Anitra had a consistency from front to back where she had a consistency of how good she was and how confident she was, and she had a build. So it started off with a little bit more subtlety into that like crazy end, when I felt like Marsha built really beautifully, where the end she was just like doing the splits and really confident in her movement, confident in herself, confident in everything. But I felt like at the beginning she was a little hobbly wobbly.
You know why?
You know, because she was against Anitra.
She wasn't in a dance performance look like Anitra was.
No,
she couldn't get down right away. Like if I was in a chiffon stripped little gown in tiny little stiletto heels that's going to endlessly get caught in it, I would have been thinking a little bit more. Whereas Anitra was like, let's party. Like, there's no part of me that's going to get caught up in this. So I think that's where, from the jump, or I guess maybe that's Anitra's strategy this season, just be able to, like, lip sync in absolutely everything.
Anitra said, I will have a career for the rest of my life because you're going to see how amazing I am at lip sync. Because remember, Cameron Michaels lip synced, I think, like 6 times. She was so busy, you know, flying all over the world performing. So it's just 100%. Like, now Anitra's lip synced so much. Anitra's carried the lip syncs almost this whole season. Just like, she's going to be fine for a career.
Truly. You know? And same with Marsha. Like, both of them such a great job. Although, did Marsha ever do one of her, like, infamous high kicks? I feel like we never saw it.
I saw a high kick. I've seen a high kick from her this season.
But did she do it in the lip sync? Like, I felt like we needed one of those at one point. Or maybe the dress wasn't calling for it.
I don't think the dress would have called for it.
Oh, because that was another. I was like, do the kick.
I liked that. But you know what's nice about Anitra? Is you know how sometimes a girl lip syncs and you feel like you've seen it? And you've seen it again, and it's the same thing. I feel like Anitra brings something different every time.
Yeah. She has,
like, she did different tricks this time that I did not see coming.
I agree.
You know, she had different moments and she was still very present. Like that one, like, scream part, like the and the thing. And she did that big wide open scream. Like, she's so good. Oh my God. It was great.
Yeah. That was honestly such a strong lip sync. And then in some ways, how do I put this? Not fun that Marsha goes home, but it's almost more dramatic that it's not a double save. That it's like, ooh, sometimes in this competition, even with such an iconic performance, someone does have to go home. Like,
yeah,
it happens. It's a competition. You can't keep everyone around.
But you know, Shady Boots?
What?
There's a Rusical next week, and that girl's literally been on Broadway.
Oh, Marsha.
I know.
Marsha. Marsha.
You couldn't keep her around for one more week. Couldn't do a double save and send her home on the Rusical.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But anyways, but that was the episode. What'd you think?
It was great. And it feels great to be back podcasting with you, bitch.
Feels great to be back. I'm glad to have you back. We do have me and Joseph tried to do a bunch of questions last week, but most of them were Cynthia questions. So we are going to get to those questions this week. So our very first question is going to be from Izzy.
Izzy,
yes. And this one's very, it's got a lot of Cynthia-isms in it. So let's to Izzy.
Let's listen to Izzy.
Hello, my name is Izzy, and I'm really excited. I love your guys' podcast so much. And I just wanted to say a big thank you for, first of all, calling all the queens they, them pronouns as a they, them queen. Makes me really happy. And also for giving a trigger warning last episode for when you guys were talking about dieting. Because as someone who's had an eating disorder in recovery, it gave me almost the permission to skip ahead, and it made me really happy. And I really hope you guys continue to do that in the future, because not a lot of drag podcasts do that. And my question is, Are you guys thinking about touring the United States more? I'm from Ohio, and I would really be dying to see you guys. And if there was one thing within the Drag Race sphere that you guys didn't get to do that you could do, what would that be?
Izzy, thank you so much, icon. Izzy. That big was a hugs. Great question. I'm giving you a hug right now. Thank you for the call. It's a trigger warning. It was kind of, I realized we need to sometimes when we're talking about certain things, exactly, it's important just to give the audience the power of a little skip ahead. I love how on podcasts there's the 15 and 30, or like skip ahead 30 or go back 15. Love
that. Yeah, so you can kind of just do the quick like for it. And I think it's, and you're very big on calling a lot of queens they them, just to kind of like, if when in doubt, they it out. I always try to remember, like I always kind of have it in my mind of like looking up their pronouns before, so sometimes I don't fall into the they theming each one of them. I try to fall into their correct pronouns,
because some
I
people don't love that, right? Like some people truly some people do want the pronoun. I know.
Yeah, because I've had some people in my past where with my and in doubt they it out, they almost don't love that. But then sometimes I find that problematic because then you're almost seeing non-binary people as a third gender, and I'm just like, but it's not, it's being completely void of gender, so saying they them is kind of just like being a broad term. But that's just my weird speculation on it. But
that's for another day,
that's for thanks, another Izzy. podcast. But yeah, but thanks, listen. Izzy. So what would you want for the answer?
Oh, it's easy. I use a green screen all the time. I would have loved a green screen acting challenge. It's the ones where you get to be like so over the top, and they put you in like whatever behind you. Like I just would have wanted one of the green screen challenges, like one of the like fragrance commercials or things where you really tell them, this is the world I want you to insert me in with color key technology.
I just want to make it to week two. That's really, I just want to hear Juicebox, you're safe. And then I would be like, what?
Honestly, I know what you mean about hearing the word safe. Like the first time you hear it,
I crave it, bitch.
I wasn't even mad. I was just like, perfect. Moving on.
If I heard the word safe, I think if I ever get to go back to Drag Race and I hear Juicebox, step forward. Mm-hmm. Juice, you're safe. I think I would burst into tears.
You would have had an Eve 6000 moment and you would have cried.
I think I would have been like, are you serious? Like, fuck yeah. Like, great. Yeah. Bye. I'm going to go fucking eat everything back there. See ya. Yeah. And then touring the United States. What are you planning on touring the United States at all?
I know I'm going to be in Seattle for Seattle Pride, but SQ Cuties, this is a grassroots movement. If you want to see us in your city, your town, tweet the bars, tweet the people and us, and let's get this going. Because a lot of promoters, they just give what the audience wants, so the audience needs to tell them. So if you want to see SQQ live, Juice and I do our thing, tweet it, you know, social media,
tweet it, tweet it out. I tried to get an American work visa, but that fell through real fast. It was not in the cards for me, unfortunately, but you never know, things may change.
Mm-hmm. And we can air quotes go on vacation.
Yes, we can go on vacations, yes.
And maybe pack a wig or two. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. All right, but thank you so much, Izzy. We really appreciate that. Yes, do you want to move on to Lisa?
Lisa! Lisa, let's hear from you. What do you have to say?
Hi, Jules, and hi, Cynthia. It is me, Lisa, from the Netherlands, and I'm back with another question. First of all, Cynthia, congratulations on Shaheen hitting 60,000 streams on Spotify. Like, I cheered so loud. I'm so happy for you guys. And then for my question, there are now 15 seasons of Drag Race. Well, it's about 14 and a half, but we'll count 15 as a full season. If you would have to erase one of the seasons, which one would it be? Like, of course, the queens still exist, but just the season never happened. Which one would you choose to erase from the franchise? Yeah, that's it. Bye.
Whoa.
Oh my
god. Wow, Lisa, god, that's Lisa. Quite the question.
Lisa Shady, the Lisa from Netherlands. Lisa, you are shady. You are a shady.
Shady cow. Boots. That's shady boots. Which one would you do?
Oh my god. Oh my god. Season 3 from Canada's Drag Race, because we're not on it.
No, Lisa said so the American season.
Oh, American.
American, 15 seasons out of 15 seasons, American season.
Okay. Well, I take that back. Season 3, sisters. I love you.
Yeah, I was like, Fierce Alicious is going to get into your DMs.
She officially, yeah. Okay. Maybe like one of the... maybe like season 2 or something. Because season 1
had 2? Oh, see, I think up to season 6 is just like top tier Drag Race. I would get rid of like season like 10.
I actually didn't watch season 10.
Was that Aquarius season?
Yeah.
No, I like season 10. I would get rid of
season... But the queens get to exist. Lisa...
You know what? Here's what I would do.
What would you do? I would
get rid of season 11. That means Brooklyn Heights was never on Drag Race.
I love that.
Which means neither of us were on Canada's Drag Race. And then we both just disappeared into oblivion, and we're just living our happy Canadian lives. No TV trauma.
But how would 60,000 people stream Shine, Jude?
Shine!
Shine!
Yeah, you're right.
That's so iconic.
You're
right. Oh my God, anyone who listens to both that song and the podcast, thank you for all the streams. It literally means the world. Kind of sometimes, it's funny with like digital art or like things you put out, but you don't necessarily like feel every single day. Like we made that song and it's just so crazy to me to think that people like listen to it. It's so
wild.
It's crazy. So wild. Yeah, I like
should we do one more just for fun?
Oh my God, yes, I love listening. Okay, do you want to talk
this
to Max?
This is, oh no, we've done Max already. This one is Michaela. Max was last week, yeah.
Michaela.
Oh, is this Michaela?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Michaela. The spelling is right next to it. So this is Michaela. My bad, Michaela.
No worries.
Hi, y'all. My name is Michaela. I am from Kentucky, but I live in Arizona. Since the Rusical is coming up, I would like to know what your all's favorite musical is and what your favorite Rusical is.
Oh, well, hey, Michaela.
Oh, I love that accent.
I loved it. It reminds me of, hey, y'all, this is Dakota. I'm at the Cracker Barrel for dinner.
I'm starting off with a Caesar salad, extra
for
dressing.
For the tables, I got, and to drinks, I am obsessed.
You know I have to get a large iced tea.
Oh my God, I will watch. My dream is to be in one of those videos, you know?
I feel like we could hang out with them.
I think Dakota would go to dinner with semi-qualified queens. I think 100%. we could make it happen. Dakota, if you're listening,
to the Cheesecake Factory together.
Hey y'all, it's Dakota. We're at the Cheesecake Factory.
I want that tiny mic. I think it'd be fun.
But what is your favorite musical
of all time
and Rusical?
Okay, Wicked for. Okay. A musical, just because that was like the first one that I saw as a kid that really just like, I don't know, it just like struck me. I just loved that musical, and I can't wait to see it as a movie soon. I know they're working on that.
Can't wait.
And then a Rusical, I think I answered this one week prior, though I forget the actual official name of it, but with Adore Delano and like Courtney Act. I felt like that was the first.
Where Courtney was like the older version of Adore. Yeah.
They sang it live, and I felt like that was where I was like, whoa. And they don't do that as often, so those ones stand out a little more in my eyes.
Mine are Moulin Rouge, but the movie version with Ewan McGregor and Nicole Kidman.
Cute.
Love it. Me and Mr. Box used to watch it all the time in high school together, and we would like cuddle and watch it because he knew I loved it so much. So cute. Aww. And my favorite Rusical is the Kardashian Rusical. I love that one.
Wait, Mama, what about the Moulin Rouge Rusical?
No, the Kardashian Rusical will always be the best Rusical to ever happen on RuPaul's Drag Race. Momager. So good.
It was good. Did you hear that the Kardashians aren't invited to the Met this year?
Yes. A scandalo.
I have a feeling this is all orchestrated.
Why? What do you mean? What's that mean?
Like, it's, like, them not being attending, like, them not being invited is actually, like, more of a plan than anything, because, like, the only way to top themselves is just to not be there. So I think that's their, like, strategy this year.
Oh. Okay. I don't know. I think it's
because everybody loves a comeback, and you know the year next, Kim will be there. She's gonna be like, I'm back from the ashes.
I'm back from the ashes, and I have decided to find a woman's dead corpse and take her gown off of her and wear it. Yeah.
But I like the Kardashian musical is really fun. The musical, I should say.
Momager. But thank you guys so much. This has been another episode of Semi-Qualified Queens. If you guys want to follow us on any of our socials, you can get us on Instagram at Semi-Qualified Queens Pod, Twitter at SQQ Pod using the hashtag Semi-Qualified Questions, or email us at Semi-Qualified Queens Pod at gmail.com.
And didn't everyone sound so amazing who did voice notes on the podcast this week? If you want to hear your voice on Semi-Qualified Queens, record it, send it over at www.speakpipe.com/SQQPOD.
Thank you guys so much, and we are going to be back next week with a very special episode of Semi-Qualified Queens from Comic-Con.
Is it Comic-Con or Comic-Con? How do you say it?
I think you should say whatever your heart desires.
I'm going to call it Comic-Con. I think that's how you say
idea.
It.
That's a really good idea, Diane. Thank you so much for bringing that up.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Comic-Con.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.